This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Greetings, listeners. My name is Rodney Brown, and I'm very glad to be with you today. I've got a Bible reading and some thoughts upon it. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to read verses 1 to 3 and then verse 18. Hebrews 10, verse 1. It says, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers once purged would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year." And then I want to read verse 18. It says, "Now where there is remission of these," that is remission of sins, "there is no longer an offering for sin." What we find in Hebrews chapter 10 is a contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's a contrast between the many sacrifices, the animal sacrifices that were offered in the Old Testament, with that one sacrifice that was offered by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, that sacrifice for sins. And we read here in Hebrews chapter 10 about the law, that is the law of the sacrifices and the offerings of the Old Testament. And it says that the law of these sacrifices, it was a shadow of the good things to come. The value in all of this that was offered of the Old Testament was in what they all pointed forward to. These sacrifices for sins of the Old Testament were all pointing forward to Christ, who was going to come to be that unique one sacrifice for sins forever. And so we read about the insufficiency of the Old Testament sacrifices. It says that it was a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things. It says that they can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. And as we think of the worship of Israel of the Old Testament, they were approaching God on the value of animal sacrifices. It was God himself who gave these sacrifices. He told them what they must do. He told them what they must bring to him in sacrifices. And these people had to learn that sin was a very costly thing, that it cost them all these animals. And as we read through the books of the Old Testament, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of animal sacrifices for sin, showing us how serious a thing it was for the people of the Old Testament to sin against God. When we remember who God is, that God is absolutely righteous, God is absolutely holy, and he cannot have any sin in his presence, it must be dealt with. And here we see what it took in order for sins to be covered, as it was in the Old Testament. There was never any removal of their sins in the Old Testament. Their sins were covered for a time. And we see in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 2, if there had been finality in the sacrifices of the Old Testament, then there would have been a stopping of them all. It says in verse 2 that if there was a perfection, if there was completion in what these sacrifices could do for the people, then the writer asks, would they not have ceased to be offered? And the answer is yes, that they would have ceased to be offered because they were good enough for the people. And he says that the people would have had no more consciousness of sins if they had ceased to be offered because it was good enough. But, the writer says, in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. And so when the people sinned again, they had to come another time with another sacrifice. And when they sinned again, they had to do it again. And so we see here from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 3 that in the Old Testament sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. And so what a burden it must have been for those people who had sinned and who continued to sin to bring sacrifices again and again and again. But then we come later on in the chapter to verse 18, where we read about the remission of sins. This is the opposite of what we find in verse 3. In verse 3, we find a reminder of sins. But in verse 18, we read about remission of sins. These things are opposites. In the sacrifices of the Old Testament, sins were being remembered, and so they were being confessed again and covered again and again and again. But now in verse 18, with this one sacrifice that we read of, who is the person of Christ, who we read of in Hebrews chapter 10, we read of him coming as a single person, as one man, to offer himself as a sacrifice once and for all. And we read of him who offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And when he offered his one sacrifice for sins forever, we read that he sat down at God's right hand. And so this shows us that when he died on the cross for our sins and was buried, that that wasn't the end of him. We know that he rose again. And we know that he went up to heaven and took his seat at God's right hand. And because of what he has done, we can have not just a covering for sins, but we can have remission of sins. Our sins can be put away once and for all. And so there needs to be that point in our experience where, knowing that we are sinners, knowing that we have sinned, but knowing what has been done for us in the person of Christ, who shed his blood on the cross, who offered himself as that sacrifice for sins without spot to God, coming to God on the value of Christ and what he has done, this gives us acceptance. This gives us remission of sins. This gives us forgiveness of sins and acceptance with God eternally. And so how good it is to come God's way. The people of the Old Testament had to come God's way. And the way that God gave for them in the Old Testament was through these animal sacrifices. And the way that we come today in the New Testament is through the sacrifice that has been offered, that is in the person of Jesus Christ himself. There's no other way. Tragically, people are trusting in religion. Tragically, people are trusting in their own efforts, but it won't do. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to heaven, and it's Jesus Christ himself. And we remember again his words that are so well known in John chapter 14 and verse 6. One of the disciples had asked the question, "How can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And if we come the right way, if we come God's way through Christ, we find the forgiveness of all of our sins, and we find acceptance with God, and we find eventually a place with God where God is and where Christ is in heaven. So we can thank God today for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for what he has done for us. And we can trust in him and find forgiveness for all our sins and eternal blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Thank you for listening again today. And if you'd like to contact me, you can do so by my email address. It is rodwbrown@gmail.com.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.